Hello, friends. Welcome to your second helping of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. Monday's show is an absolute belter. Sequels are usually pretty shit. So there's a lot of pressure on us today, boys. This needs to be the Terminator 2 of podcasts.
Not no pressure.
Boff. That's a really bad way to start, Hutchie. You've not seen Terminator 2.
I haven't seen Terminator 1.
What? Hold the phone. Cancel everything. You've not seen either of the Terminator films.
Nope.
There's a lot you've not seen. All these cultural black spots.
Terminator cultural?
Absolutely is. I'll be back. Hasta la vista.
I'm aware of these things, so I'm doing okay. I can still use them in context.
The reason you... Because obviously Terminator came out before you were born. That's not the reason that you've not watched it.
I just haven't watched it.
Okay. All right, fine. Anyway, Terminator 2 generally acknowledged as one of the better sequels. One of the rare sequels that's better than the original. Am I right in saying?
I don't know.
Okay, let's do the intros. As you may have already heard, the man sitting to my left with no cultural film knowledge whatsoever, wearing a nice grey jumper today, Hutchie.
Hello.
Hutch Hogan.
Hello.
Hello.
I'll be back.
What else have we established he hasn't seen?
Back to the Future, obviously.
Famously not seen Back to the Future.
Star Wars?
Yep. You ask me that every time. I've not seen something, the first thing you
notice
is Star Wars.
That's the behemoth of a film.
I've seen Star Wars.
Indiana Jones?
Don't think so.
James Bond, have you seen any of those?
Yep, I'm aware of them.
Home Alone?
Yep.
I've seen that. I bet there's loads
of... doing okay.
They don't.
Shawshank Redemption?
Yep.
You've seen that.
See, doing fine. Doing just fine.
Batman? Any of the Batman films?
All of the recent ones. All of the Nolan ones.
Yeah, the good ones.
I'm not sure if I have watched any of the previous...
As long as you've seen the Nolan ones, you're all right.
Oh, very much so.
Good. I want to get more into this at some
point. Have you seen a Rocky?
Yeah, yeah. We've seen all the Rockies. Okay. Very much in on Rocky.
There's just a few.
Yeah.
And you're stubbornly refusing to watch Back to the Future now, aren't you? Because everyone's seen it.
I don't think it would be in your best interest for me to watch Back to the Future, because all that will happen
crush
now
my dreams.
Is that I'll watch it and say, it's okay.
It's mediocre.
That's not what you're after, is
it? You need that magic, don't you?
And I don't think I'm ever going to bring it.
No. You're never going to be 5 or 6 watching that.
E.T.?
Seen E.T., yeah.
Outstanding.
Anything else?
The guy who's asking the questions and is very familiar and comfortable in that role is, of course, the man who looks like Harry Hill, the man with his collar up. He's just been defending the reason he has his collar up before we came on air. The Doctor, Stuart Watson.
The Harry Hill comments cut me hard, cut me deep, I'll be honest.
Yet you're still here.
Doing some research into the old, the hair treatment.
Yeah.
Since we last spoke.
The Norwood.
£2,000 in Poland. There was a TV show about it the other day, apparently.
I'm telling you, mate, it's worth doing. My hairdresser's had it done, and he looks tremendous now. He went over to Turkey and got it done. Dead cheap.
Mm.
Why is this stuff so cheap in Turkey?
I don't know.
You can get your teeth done cheap.
Yeah, well, he went
to
a place where you can also get your teeth done.
Bum implants?
I didn't talk to him about his ass, but... probably.
Mm.
But I can sort you out, mate. I can get mates rates, I reckon.
Can you?
Yeah. Because the guy, he was literally the first patient, and he knows a guy who runs the company, so...
I would Ooh, not... No. Would, first patient, fly over to Poland. Hi, we
Turkey.
Just... yeah. There's alarm bells ringing there for
I'm
me.
Telling you, though, it's worked. He's gone full Norwood.
Okay.
It's spectacular turnaround.
Should I get the whole shebang? I'll get my eyes lasered, hair,
teeth bum.
The whole lot.
If you don't mind me saying, Stewie, one thing you don't need is bum implants. You've got a pretty impressive posterior.
Thank you.
Excellent. On that note, let's move on. The fourth wheel in the KOA bus. The wearer of a superb beard. Greatest producer on planet Earth. Yet to be proven. Producer Ross. We've gone back to Stevie.
Yeah, Akon's currently...
Akon's yesterday's man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's gone now. Old news.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Stevie's a timeless classic.
He's my man. My
How boy. Are you, my friend? You've been out and about.
Yeah.
You were on the road yesterday.
Been about.
On the rails.
On the rails.
Yeah. Trains.
Out interviewing Adam Tanner.
Yes, really good.
For the first of your...
New series.
Town Halls series.
Ross Meets. Former town players. Talking about their careers from the ups and the downs.
There you go. Look, he's got the voiceover voice straight away.
Yeah.
And then you went from there. Obviously, you came back here briefly, and then you went to Norwich.
Yes.
To watch the ladies absolutely hump Norwich City.
I missed the first 20 minutes because I was running late, so I missed the first two goals. But, oh well, saw the other eight.
They went from a 10-0 defeat to a 10-0 win.
Yes, mad, isn't it?
That's fairly impressive.
From 4 days.
Yeah.
It shows the gulf of our league now, how good we are and how bad Norwich are.
Too good for this league.
Too good.
When are they going to get promoted? When can we start celebrating?
The good news was that Billy Ricky, one of our rivals, they lost on yesterday, so that's sort of good for us. So hopefully this season.
Outstanding.
Fingers crossed.
Outstanding. Who scored? There was a hat-trick hero, wasn't there?
Eloise King. Yeah, she's a big, big Town fan. So she was, for her third goal, she was like, you know, with the badge.
Awesome.
Going, yeah, get in.
And did you see there was one of the KOA Army who went to the game on the back of us talking about it, Simon English, and said he's now converted. He loves Town Ladies. Big Town Ladies fan. Not in that way, Ross. He's a Big Town Ladies fan. So there you go.
Yeah.
News is spreading. We're helping to spread that news. And it's all down to you. So, Kieran, send the money here.
Yeah.
Boys, let's go on to football. There's not been a lot of time since we last spoke. But in that time, there has been things happening. A couple of fairly important things. Chris Hogg, first of all, has departed the club. How are we feeling about that? He's left. He's gone to Newcastle. What a great move for him.
Yeah, it's great for him. Really, a really good move for him. He's from Middlesbrough. North East boy, came down to Ipswich when he was 16. He's very highly regarded at Ipswich. Good move. A great move for him. He's the lead development coach now at Newcastle. So moving up from working with Ipswich's 23s to leading the under-23 program at Newcastle. So it's great for him. Not so great for Ipswich.
Mm. Yeah, Ipswich will be sad and reluctant to let him go. Brian Clough has talked about not only developing young players at the club, but also developing young coaches. And I think they were trying to get a pathway there, both for Gerard Nash and Chris Hogg. But having spoken to Leo Neal, he acknowledges that if you can't provide that pathway right here and now, that sometimes, you know, people have to go elsewhere for that. So I think they're hopeful that further down the line that Chris may return one day. But right now, he's got to a stage where he wants to be leading a team on his own, and he's had a taste of the first team when him and Gerard sort of helped out Brian during that caretaker spell, and they've been under-23s managers for a little while now, and it's obviously sort of near his native North East as well, Middlesbrough boy, so powerless to stop it. So be interesting to see what they do to kind of fill that void now.
He certainly carries himself like a manager, I think. He seems like the sort that one day I could see in management. He carries himself that way, and he's got someone to look up to in his father-in-law as well, who's George Burley. There are links to Ipswich, so in terms of coming back in the future, the family's here, so you never know.
The old Ipswich to Newcastle path is well trod now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over the years.
Lots of links there.
So a feeder club.
We'll see. I think they'll look to replace him. I'm not convinced it will be Terry Butcher as the sort of slip straight into that, because I think the part-time nature of that role suits Terry. Having spoken to him, he's kind of... that's a bit of a bespoke role that he's going to come in, do a bit of the 18s, bit of the 23s, watch games here and there, bit of an advisory role, bit of a mentoring role. So I don't see him going straight in alongside Gerard. Wouldn't shock me if they tried to get Kieran back. They were sad to see him leave last year. He went off to sort of seek senior roles, having seen a few of his mates sort of getting into the senior game. That's not transpired thus far, so I think they'd need to do a bit of convincing to get him back, but that would be the first name that I'd be ringing to try and convince to get back.
Well, he was after a move up the ladder, wasn't he? Because he was with the 18, so he was, I think he was after moving up closer to first team football, and that there was no vacancy there when he left, and things changed, don't they? So you never know.
We shall see. Watch this space. Stewie, you also alluded there to something else I want to talk about before we get onto the Oxford preview, the meat of the Oxford preview, and that's Big T Butch. You've been speaking to him about coming back to town. What kind of things was he saying?
You will not find a man who cares more for Ipswich Town than Terry Butcher, I'll tell you that. I mean, he speaks as a fan, and I've seen him do various fan events. He wasn't present at the last supporters club meeting, but he was out coaching in China at the time, but he sent a very passionate letter that we published on our website at the time about the club coming out of the dark and into the light, and he is super excited. Given the man of his stature, you'd think a bit of that excitement about the game would maybe dissipate over time. He's 61, but he loves it. He talks about every time he drives through the gates that he gets a real sense of excitement going up there. And the first time they kitted him out in the training kit, what a buzz he got from that. So I know people will probably dismiss it as PR, Paul Lambert. The news of it came off the back of, I can't remember which defeat it was, but straight away that kind of got dismissed as a bit of a PR move. But this has been bubbling behind the scenes for a little while, and it's just great that they've got him involved.
Terry Butcher, one of the only people in my journalistic career I've been starstruck by, when he came into the Anglian offices to do a pre-season podcast a couple of years ago, and you introduced me to him, and I was like, hello, Terry. Because for me, he is the iconic England hero, wearing the spattered in his own blood, fist pumping, wouldn't come off for any reason, just an absolute lion of a man. So to actually meet him was what I say, I was pretty starstruck. So yeah. Do you ever get that, boys?
The first person that I ever felt that way with...
Paolo?
No, not him. Dom Jolly.
What?
The first celebrity that I ever did any kind of, any interview with, yeah, once I started journalism, was Dom Jolly.
Was it?
And I felt... I used to love Trigger Happy
Why
TV.
Did you... What was the chat about then?
He was, touring, bringing some stage show to Worcester. But in terms of football, weirdly, kind of, when I first... when Tommy Miller signed for Swindon, and he's my era. I used to love watching him play, and yeah, I fell a little bit. I got to know him quite well during the years that we were both there. So yeah, him a little bit. Lovely guy.
Yeah. Stu and Roscoe. Should we just talk amongst ourselves? Anyone else outside of the world? I mean, you were mates with Jonah Lomu, for God's sake.
Facebook friends with Jonah.
No, but you met him.
Yes, I did. He's a big man. That's pretty surreal.
Yeah.
He, nice guy as well.
Yeah. Tremendous.
Yeah.
You back in the room now, boys? Can we...
I may as well just say it on air now. I was trying to do a bit of behind-the-scenes chat. Ross, when I think your mic's up, it just makes a little bit of a hum in the background. So I was just going to tell you to turn your mic down.
Okay.
That's not Roscoe. Stewie, starstruckness before you get into Oxford. Is there anyone in your career? You've talked to the great and the good of football over the years and sport. Is there anyone you've been particularly like, Mr. Butcher? Hello, Mr. Butcher? There must be. Come on. I'll tell you who. Another one, Bobby Robson. I met Sir Bobby Robson and interviewed him once, and he was tremendous. I wasn't really starstruck. I was more like, you're the nicest man I've ever met. And he really
He's
was.
He's a lovely man,
isn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you've just done there, Ross, it sounds a lot better in my headphones.
Superb.
Just turned you down a little bit.
Okay, great.
The headphones down.
It was you all along.
Causing the problems.
Just chucking shade around the room.
Strange sound in my headphones. Shane Warne, when I interviewed him, that was probably one of the bigger names.
What was he doing?
He was doing some sort of talk at a hotel in Copdock for some reason.
Of course he was.
At a dinner.
What version of Warne was this?
He was a real arsehole.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was this pre or post Hurley?
No, I think this was the Hurley era.
Was it?
This was when he'd started getting all the work done.
Yeah.
And he was, he was a bit of an arsehole.
In what way?
Just had no time, very dismissive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
There's a lot of them around.
Yeah. Mm. My missus once interviewed Jeff Hurst and was told, you cannot ask him about the World Cup or England.
Yeah, I've had exactly the same thing happen.
Jeff Hurst, who scored the hat-trick as England won the World Cup, you can't talk to him about that.
Yeah, he was doing some indoor football thing for McDonald's that I went to see Jeff Hurst, all excited. And, we can talk about... Nope.
Ridiculous.
Not talk about the World Cup.
Roscoe, you're a man of music, a man of many, many backgrounds and talents. Have you ever been starstruck by anyone you've been speaking to?
No, really. It's not really my thing. I'm just like, oh yeah,
hello,
you're famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not really my jam. I know a lot of people would like to have selfies and get autographs of famous people, but it's not my jam.
I hate
I'm
that.
Just yeah, you know. Yeah, you're there. Yeah. Fine.
The
yeah.
Moose.
What?
Starstruck by the Moose.
You were starstruck by the Moose. I wonder where we're going with that.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
Adam Tanner. There you go.
Were you?
It was just a nice guy.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
We all piss and shit the same as each other.
Not necessarily the same.
Just picture that when if you ever feel starstruck or overawed.
And just say that to them as well.
Situations. Yeah. Well, this, even the President of the United States has to take a dump from time to time.
Oh, he definitely does.
Yeah, he's taking shits all over the place. Trumpy, isn't he? With his diet of meat and caffeine. Boys, should we get on to Oxford?
Yes.
Oxford United at home this weekend. It's another must-win, in inverted commas, for Town. But it's also, arguably, more of a must-win for Oxford if they've got any chance of getting into the playoffs. They were obviously doing all right early in the season. They've now dropped down to 10th. They've had a terrible run of form. Halted, unfortunately, just in time to come to Portman Road with a massive 5-0 win on Tuesday night. A shellacking, a tonking, a humping, a thumping, an absolute... Yeah, I'm not going to swear. But that was a good result for them ahead of Portman Road. So where are we with Oxford? How are we feeling going into this game?
Part of me feels a little disappointed that we're not going to get to see pure football Oxford, which throughout the first half of the season, so many people were talking to us about Oxford, the best team that have been here. They're the best team in the league, best footballing team in the league. But they've sold players. They've lost loanees in January. Two of their best players went to Brentford, and they've fallen away. And we didn't get to see that Oxford in action on that wet and windy night at the Kassam. So part of me is disappointed that maybe we're not going to get to see that benchmark that we were hearing about before, but it's still going to be a difficult game. Difficult game for Ipswich. But one they have to win, because there's no point getting these morale boosting home 4-1 wins if you don't then go and win the next one. They need momentum now. They've got to build. They've simply got to build momentum if they're going to do this. And back-to-back home games is the way to do that.
Stewie,
the hope has got to be that Ipswich are better rested than they are, having played in midweek. But having watched the extended highlights of their 5-0 win against Wimbledon, who proved tough nuts for Ipswich to crack. They then went and got a result against Sunderland. Maybe Wimbledon just kind of ran out of steam off the back of those two games, but to put 5 goals past them is no mean feat, and that could have been 7 or 8, looking at the highlights. They had 2 really good chances at 0-0. They smacked the crossbar in the middle of all that with the goals going in. That was only their first or second win of 2020.
First, I think.
Perhaps all of the transfer speculation surrounding Fosu and Baptiste. Baptiste, for me, was by far and away their best player. Maybe that sort of played its part in things. Obviously, the pitch hasn't been great. We saw that there with the rain and stuff. But my concern going into this game is that they look a really good counter-attacking side. And they've got pace. And they're the things that Ipswich struggle to deal with. And they've got a threat down the wings. And with Ipswich being quite wedded to the wing-back situation at the moment, that concerns me. We saw in the early stages, even last weekend, that Ipswich looked vulnerable down the flanks. And I look at the threats for Oxford, and Holland looks a real good, tricky winger that can carry the ball and can run at people. And that traditionally is what Ipswich have struggled with at times. Matt Taylor up front's just a decent League One target man who, you know, has come from Bristol City, and Henry on the other side of the flank. So I've got a few reservations going into this one, because we've been here before, haven't we, where Ipswich have produced a really good performance and it's sometimes one step forwards and a couple of steps back. So as good as the weekend was, you're right, they need to back it up now.
Okay, well that's Oxford talked about. How about Town themselves? What, if anything, are you doing off the back of a 4-1 win? We spoke on Monday's show about how good the front three were. I assume that means that Mr. Norwood's going to be riding the pine again on Saturday. Yeah. Are you looking to change much ahead of this game?
No. I'd probably go with the same again, to be honest. Give them a chance to do it again. I don't see any reason to change it. There are options to change it if you want to, but I wouldn't be doing that.
And there's no injuries or anything to be aware of? I know presser is not till tomorrow, but nothing that we're...
Not that we're aware of. Someone's pointed out that Will Keane may have sort of limped off slightly. It's not something that I spotted at the time, so I hope that's not the case, because I thought he was good. In terms of personnel, no, I wouldn't be changing too much, but Ipswich changed it at half-time last weekend to a four at the back, and given what I've just said about Oxford's threats, I wonder whether that might be something that they consider, you know, moving Josh Earl to left-back, pushing Garbutt forward to left midfield, where he probably played his better football of the season, right at the start of the season, you know, just sort of go with that, which would mean Alan Judge out on the right, who actually played it quite well last weekend, and then you can sort of play almost a 4-4-1-1 with Keane sort of dropping off and then using Jackson's pace in behind. That might be something that they consider, whether you'd then start Gwion Edwards as your starting right back, or whether you turn back to Janoi Denassi, and that would be a consideration if you were to go with that system.
That's why, if you're going to go with the four, I'd absolutely be doing that. Go with Denassian as the natural right back there.
Okay. Any other notes before we offer up some predictions and I ask Ross what the actual score is going to be?
So why are we bothering with our predictions?
Well, because we have to. You're the big noises. Then we get on to Ross, who just go 3-0, whatever, and get it bang on.
Should we let him go first?
Yeah, Rostradamus. For those of you who have not been listening recently, Ross has proved uncannily accurate this season.
What is your run? How far back does this go?
That's only three, I think. It's not that impressive. But
it's also, I think, your ability to see into the future started when we did the SWOT analysis and Town were top of the table and one of the only unbeaten sides in the country left with Liverpool. And you said they're not scoring enough goals and they're not creating enough chances. And how prophetic has that been? Anyway, since then, you've got a little run of results going. You've been predicting defeats and getting it right, and you've also predicted victories and getting it right. So, Oxford at home this weekend. You didn't see the win last weekend. How are you feeling, Roscoe? Tell us what the score's going to be.
Like, we're both...
No pressure.
We both scored, you know, heavily, you know, winning 4-1 and they won 5-0. So, likelihood it's going to be a 1-1 draw, probably.
1-1 draw.
There you go. Each.
Get down to the bookies, everyone. 1-1. Rostradamus has spoken. Yep. So, Ross has told us it's going to be 1-1. You boys, you might as well give us a prediction.
I was also going to predict
a draw,
but I think I'd probably go a little higher scoring than that.
Desmond's?
We'll go Desmond's.
2-2. Stewie?
I think they might lose.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The elephant in the room. What are you saying?
2-1 Oxford. Sorry.
Wait, is that predicated on the counter-attacking, the pace, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
You mustn't apologise for it, Stu.
That's what you think.
That's what you think.
We're here to talk about what we think, honestly, amongst friends. And you think they're going to lose 2-1.
That's what I've said.
Okay, so Roscoe says 1-1. Stewie says 2-1 defeat. Hutchie says 2-2. I'm going to say 2-1 Town, just so we've got the full gamut of victories. And obviously everyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I know very little when it comes to the rest of the boys in this room.
Here's my fear how the game pans out, that they stick with wing backs because that's what they've been doing, and then they get exposed in that, and then they have to switch within the game, but then the damage is done and the crowd have got a bit edgy again and the nerves transpire to the players, and you know, that's the scenario that I could see unfolding. But if they were to start with the four at the back and they kept it nice and organised, and you know, there's every, you know, if they started that way, then I could flip that on its head and say that, you know, the way they played last weekend, they could win the game. But so it all depends on sort of how they start and what system they play. But I have got fears about the pace and the counter and the wide players.
Let's hope those prove to be unfounded. Boys, any other notes from Oxford before we move on to something a little bit different?
No more notes.
Excellent. That's Oxford done. You heard what the score's going to be and you've heard what the rest of us think it might be. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to introduce a little weekly game now. Now, again, if you've listened to this podcast, you've probably heard me moan on numerous occasions that Stu and Andy, they agree too much. I'm always looking for ways of pitting them against each other. Most notably, of course, in the famous courtroom drama where Mick McCarthy made a special appearance. No one likes consensus, boys. It's not good radio. We need conflict. We need arguments. We need you two, as the stars of the show, butting heads, being pitted against each other. So I'm going to start a new weekly game, which is very simply just called Stu versus Andy. This is beautiful. Yes. The dulcet tones. So the idea is very simple. Every week on this show, here we go. I am going to ask you some questions. There's going to be a winner every week. We're going to keep those scores. And at the end of the season, whoever loses is doing some kind of forfeit. Probably chosen or at least suggested by the KOA army.
Dyeing their hair yellow.
Whatever, could be. Don't know.
Once you've got your transplant done, my friend, we can talk about dyeing it.
It's not going to be anything, obviously, too ridiculous. I'm not going to get you abseiling off Ipswich hospital block or anything like that. But just so there's something on it. Little forfeit. You in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. First episode of Stu versus Andy.
I'm going to ruin this.
Well, please try not to.
Just don't.
Just don't ruin it, yeah. On Monday in the office, we had a conversation which absolutely disgusted me. For some reason, we got talking about the Wu-Tang Clan. And I revealed that one of my big questions was, name your favourite member of the Wu-Tang Clan. And you both looked at me like I had three heads and went, I couldn't name a single person or indeed a song, apart from Gravel Pit, which is one of their worst, by the way.
I couldn't have told you that.
Yeah. So me, obviously, as someone who comes very much from the streets...
Of West Suffolk.
Absolutely, yeah, the mean streets of West Suffolk. Culturally rooted in hip-hop. It disgusted me that you couldn't name any members of potentially, probably,
I don't think we're alone in that, though.
You're not alone.
The poll, very much, of over 1,000 votes, I think it was 22% of people could name one member.
Yeah, all that means is a lot of people out there with limited hip-hop knowledge. Wu-Tang Clan are one of the greatest hip-hop collectives of all time.
I don't care.
They were great. Back when hip-hop was great, before all the watered-down shite you get now. Anyway, as a result of that, I then listed all the members of the Wu-Tang Clan as part of my rant. You can picture the scene, dear listeners. I was not happy. So the first episode of Stu versus Andy is going to be decided on who can name the most members of the Wu-Tang Clan. Okay? So we need someone to start. Paper, scissors, stone... To draw first.
One, two, three.
Double
scissors.
There we go.
One, two, three.
Oh, paper. Double paper, unbelievable.
One, two, three.
Yes.
So scissors beats paper.
You get the first go. I'm going to get the official list up so there can be no arguments.
Right, well, I'm going to go straight in with the person that Ross has prematurely just said into the microphone. He could not stop saying this in the office after we had this discussion.
Because he's like
the day.
4-year-old.
I believe there is a member, you told me, called Jizza. And this is apparently something that everybody should know.
Yeah, that is correct, Ross. Anytime you want to...
Oh,
yes. On the draw, as usual.
Yeah, Jizza.
You've also just deleted that from your screen.
No, it goes off.
Okay.
Jizza, one of the creative forces behind the Wu-Tang Clan.
Method Man.
Yes. Yes. Excellent. For me, the best MC in the Wu-Tang Clan.
And that's me done.
So Stu just got him name one
more.
One
to win. Okay.
One more. Well, if Hutchie's telling the truth, of course.
I believe there's somebody called Old Dirty Bastard, ODB.
That's the most English pronunciation of ODB I've ever heard. Old Dirty Bastard. Yes. Now, sadly, no longer with us.
That is a shame.
R.I.P.
Can you name...
No.
You haven't got anything else? I literally listed them all.
I didn't care.
The way I sort of remembered it, it was a bit like a Trumpton sort of thing, like Hugh Pugh, Barney McGrew, but in this case it was kind of the Bizzer, the Jizzer.
You were so close to the first one.
The old dirty geezer.
The Gizzard.
No. not the Gizzard. Roscoe, where's the wrong noise? There we go. Hutchie, you've let yourself down.
I haven't, though, have I?
The Gizzard.
I haven't let myself down at all.
You have very much let yourself down.
Yeah, I've got no more. Well done. Well done,
Stu. So Stu wins the first edition of Stu versus Andy. He goes 1-0 up in the series. The correct answers, just in case you need...
There's one that's on the tip of my tongue.
Well, you were very close with it. The RZA.
No, I wasn't anywhere near that. I just said Gizzard.
So you've got the RZA, the Jizza, the Old Dirty Bizzer. That's one of their famous rhyme starts. You've also got Inspector Deck, you've got You God, Ghostface Killer.
That's the one that was on my brain.
Yeah, Raekwon the Chef, Master Killer, Capadonna, and of course, M-E-T-H-O-D, Man. for my money, the best MCs. Not nonsense, important stuff. They made some great tunes, and you all disgust me that you don't know who they are.
Come back to us when you've had the hiccups, mate. That's all I'll say.
That doesn't mean anything. That's not. What does that mean?
It means you're not grounded in reality.
Okay. Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's proof of how far removed you are from popular knowledge.
Because I've not had the hiccups. Yeah. I don't have any popular knowledge. Is that your argument?
I just think what you consider to be popular knowledge...
What would you consider to be popular knowledge?
Having the hiccups.
That's not popular knowledge. That's a popular experience, my friend.
I think you're lying about it.
Why would I lie about not having the hiccups?
Exactly. You tell me.
Okay. I'm still not really sure where it sits within this Wu-Tang Clan debate, but there you go. There we go. Stu versus Andy is over. Stu gets the win.
Win.
Could you have named any more, Alvin?
I would have been struggling.
That's a shame. A shame that I've only brought one.
I thought you'd bring more to the party with all the listing of names that I was giving you. You obviously weren't paying any attention.
Not really.
No.
Not overly paying attention to that, to be honest.
Once you've decided you're not really into something, you're very much set against it, aren't you?
I don't need the Wu-Tang Clan in my life particularly.
Oh, I've never heard anyone say that before that I've got any respect for. Anyway.
Oh dear.
Stu wins 1-0. No, 2-1. And takes a 1-0 lead in the series. Roscoe, what did you make of that?
That's bad.
Any early ideas for forfeits that we can maybe think about at the end of the season?
Bitches.
What? what does that mean?
What?
Roscoe, for any of you who have never met him, is basically a child in a man's body. Well, I say man's, a kind of
a beard,
an early teenage body, and therefore he finds the jizzer hilarious.
When as a child you learn a new swear word at school, that's and exactly then you it. Come home and you can say, "I've heard a new bad word today," and then that gives you the green light to say it several times.
That was how Monday went down. He just kept saying "jizzer" and then laughing to himself.
And he told me, "What, you're only there one more?"
Yeah, he told you off, didn't he? Basically,
you used it within 10 seconds.
Yeah. And I sort of regretted that. So the whole day I was like,
"I want to say it again. It's so funny."
I did say it again.
Yeah, you said it several times.
Yep.
Boys, I enjoyed that. I'm looking forward to seeing who wins at the end of the season. That's going to be
a
weekly
thing.
Are they
all going to be hip hop related?
No, of course not. I wanted to use that as the first because I thought it was a good conversation that we had. I thought we'd make good radio, and it did. And we've now got the first point on the board. So every week on the Thursday show, Stu versus Andy, apart from when I'm not here. I suppose Ross could do one. That would be interesting. Chocolate bar calories and stuff.
Did Ross ruin that, like he said he was going to?
He didn't, no. Not, well, good. Apart from revealing one of the answers before we started. But then, to be fair, he didn't know what the questions were. So there you go. Boys, let's get straight into mailbag. Who's going to do the mailbag tune?
Ross is.
Oh.
He's going to mess this
getting
up.
Getting the Stripe persona on here. Mailbag! Oh, God.
Carry on. That's right.
Mailbag. Heafy. Hutchie. Dr. Watson. Ross. Dip into the mailbag.
I like that.
That's bad, but yeah.
That wasn't bad. I like that. Yeah. I like the very, very staccato way he delivered all of our names. Very good. Mm-hmm. First question in the mailbag. Christian Davis. Morning, chaps, he says. Morning, Christian. Who are your top six come May and in what order?
Rotherham.
Yeah.
Coventry.
Yeah.
Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sunderland.
Yeah.
How many is that?
That's four.
Peterborough.
Mm-hmm.
Ipswich.
Sneaking in. Stewie, what do you reckon?
I've been saying Rotherham since
one. Since the preview show, baby.
So I've kind of got to stick with them.
Yeah.
Sunderland or Portsmouth.
You can't
to
have
go
or.
Up automatically.
You can't have or. You've
and I'm going to say Sunderland to go up automatically.
Rotherham and Sunderland. What did you say? Rotherham and Coventry?
Yep.
Rotherham, Sunderland.
Yeah.
Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Coventry.
Yeah.
Ipswich.
Fifth.
Wickham.
Of course, Wickham. One that Hutchie left out, the odd one
yeah.
out.
Yeah, Wickham. I think if I'm watching this race with Ipswich eyes, I am obviously watching Ipswich results, and then I'm watching Wickham and Fleetwood. Mm-hmm. I think that's Ipswich's competition for me.
Before we move on to Roscoe, you've both put Rotherham top, Rotherham Coventry. You said Rotherham and Sunderland. Did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've both got Ipswich in the top six. Roscoe, tell us how it's actually going to go down.
Peterborough missing the playoffs, Stu.
I've got to have Peterborough in there, haven't I?
Oh, here we go. Stu's now going to name about 10 teams.
Oh, crikey. I've got to take someone else to put Peterborough in there, haven't I?
Top six.
Who was your sixth place team?
Doesn't bode well for Ipswich, does it?
You had Wickham sixth.
I honestly think Wickham will... We keep saying that Wickham are going to fade away. And I don't think they'll go up top two, but they keep digging out results. And their fixtures aren't that bad compared to the rest of the teams. But Peterborough's goal threat... I looked at their run-ins, and Peterborough have got by far and away the kindest fixtures out of all of them. If you're talking about now, I probably would do a cut-off point of about 10th or 11th of the teams that can make it in. I think Burton have probably just about put themselves out of it. So if you talk about the top 11, Peterborough had the fewest games against their rivals, three. So they've got to go in there.
Yeah.
Doesn't bode well for Ipswich, does it?
That so are you putting Ipswich in there or not?
Take them out then.
No, Ipswich are fifth. They're fifth. That's what I'm sticking by.
Who
that.
Is sixth?
Oh, crikey.
This is a classic doctor answer, by the way. Explaining all
he's
working
out. I'll have to drop Wickham out then, won't I? Put Peterborough in there.
That's what I've done. Ipswich are going to pip Wickham on the final day.
Oh, that is a very bold prediction. Roscoe, these two pretenders have just been guessing. You tell us how it's going to go down.
I'm having to do some research while they were discussing that because I didn't actually know what the top six was.
Fortunately, Stu gave you some time.
Yeah. Rotherham will win the league.
Everyone says Rotherham's going to win the league.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know if they will win the league.
But you just said they would.
Well, I was on the spot, but I don't know if they'll win the league. Okay. I think they'll go
up. None of us know, Stu. Yeah. That's the beauty
it's
of it.
It's literally the nature of the question.
Coventry second, I think. They got two games in hands.
Agreeing with Hutchie.
Sunderland third, Portsmouth fourth, Peterborough fifth.
Are they going to get in?
Fleetwood sixth.
Oh! Ipswich are going to miss out on the playoffs, according to Rostradamus. Yeah. We may as well all go home now.
Also, ridiculously, how have Gillingham gone on the run that they're in?
Jordan Roberts, mate.
J-Robs.
That's all it is.
Mark knew all along.
Simple.
No one's listened to me all this time. Now Drynan's the star man up in air.
They haven't lost since November the 23rd in the league.
Ooh, could they be a dark horse going into that?
Unbelievable from
Ipswich
from the
Gillingham
kills.
In the playoffs.
J-Robs.
Fifth round of
J-Robs comes home. If that transpires,
he wouldn't be able to play.
I'm going to say they wouldn't. I assume they'd be say you can't play. Okay, good question, good answers, Christian. Simon English, now a confirmed Town Woman fan, as discussed. He said it was superb, lovely atmosphere at the game too. Thanks, Ross. There you go.
You're welcome.
Harry Ipswich, keen in behind Jackson and Norwood in the 10 role. Could it work, Stu? I think this is something you've talked about before.
Yes,
you're a big fan.
Yeah, Keane is. Last week sort of backed that up. I think I said right back to the live pod that Keane is technically the best striker they've got. I'm not saying he's their best striker per se, but he's the closest thing they've got to a David McGoldrick type in terms of sort of link-up play and the way he kind of... They used him properly last weekend, the way he drops deep into those pockets. So, yeah, you could play him in that sort of number 10 role behind that front two. No question.
You could. You definitely could. I've personally would maybe want a little bit more energy in that position given that you're playing the wing backs that are coming from a bit deeper. I think actually Judge moving out wide and moving around in that role is quite valuable to Ipswich, but he could definitely play there, no question about it, but I would personally probably go with Judge or Bishop.
Okay. The pin
clinging on in there. Friend of the show.
Back on a new account. He's asked two questions, and I'm going to ask them both because I like the pin. Can I just apologise, he says, on behalf of Ipswich Town fans for those pointing the finger at you guys and claiming the invention of the honey badger is in some way behind the town's poor form? Nonsense, of course. We've spoken about that. But what are the worst things that fans have said to you as part of your jobs? Social media warriors. Have you catch much wreck on social media? I remember vividly someone on Facebook after you'd done the Paul Hurst, just before he went, you did a verdict basically saying, put up or shut up, Hurst. Time to prove that you're who you say you are. And she sent us all a message which called us ridiculous little shits. So that sticks out in my mind.
It's not very nice, is it?
It's not, is it? Potty mouth. I'm not going to name her, but I'm sure you can probably work out who it is.
Probably not far from the truth, to be fair.
Well, that doesn't matter. Do you ever get a lot of abuse? Or I can see that you're both being reticent in coming forward. Of course, you had the guy who threatened to leg you at Tranmere.
Yeah, he was a joker, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, did not back it up.
I've had a lot of online abuse from people in Wales.
Really?
In a previous job.
What, genuine?
Yeah.
Rugby, are we talking?
No, football people saying that I've got death threats and stuff.
What about?
Because I was required, when I worked at a London newspaper that doesn't have the best reputation.
Ah, yes.
I was asked to write something about the number of Welsh footballers at Euro 2016 that were actually born in England.
Okay.
I probably got about 1,000 Twitter messages. I actually went to Wimbledon tennis the following day, and it ruined my day. I had to,
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it was really bad, like talking about slitting my throat and stuff if I ever came to Wales.
That's bad.
It was really bad, and it was amplified by former Wales rugby union fullback and winger Lee Byrne,
who jumped on
and amplified things significantly.
Why do people do that? What is wrong with people?
It wasn't very nice.
What do they get out of it? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I don't know, but it wasn't particularly pleasant.
Stewie, can you have you ever had anyone threaten to slit your throat apart from your wife?
No. No is the answer to that. No, nothing to rival that. People have generally been pretty kind. You get the odd disagreement about sort of things, but nothing. Normally, it's just a sensible debate that people are entitled to their opinions. You get people either saying you're too negative, or you're too positive. Mm. Basically, you're either so far up the club's backside and in their pocket that you're part of the problem for the slow and steady decline, or grow a pair and ask some real questions, etc., etc. Mm. And then concurrently, you get other people at the same time saying, you're part of the reason with your negative agenda gets in the players' head and it affects the club and you should be behind them. So I've always said, as long as you're getting both of those comments at the same time, that's generally a good marker that you're somewhere in the middle. But
as long as you're being abused from both ends.
No, I haven't had anything of that scale that Andy's talked about.
It really wasn't very nice, actually.
Again, that's something that Hutchie's never revealed. I suppose, working for that paper, that's going to be a kind of...
That doesn't help.
Occupational hazard.
It's a bit of a red rag to the bull situation.
Yeah. How deeply unpleasant. Yeah. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
It was quite a well-considered article, actually. It was quite well-written, if I do say so myself.
Breaking trend with that paper. The other question the pin says, which is one for all of us, I see Bisto invented a breaded chicken coating, which is like KFC. Now there's no need to go out at all. What is the greatest single food item?
Say that again.
Bisto have invented a breaded chicken coating, which is just like KFC. So Bisto, famously gravy purveyors.
Have they stolen the 11 herbs and spices?
I think they
recipe?
Might have stolen the.
They've broken into the Colonel's.
That's a secret thing, isn't it?
They've broken into the Colonel's vault.
They must have done.
I'll have to try that.
Off the back of that, what is the greatest single food item that you would go with?
Bread. Just bread.
Just bread.
Is that allowed? Is that
it's a food item. Of course it is.
Is that allowed? Just bread.
My answer is always going to be peanut butter, the greatest thing that's ever been invented.
Is this like you've got to eat it? It's the only thing you can eat forever for the rest of your life, or?
You always want more information. It's just
the devil's in the detail, always.
Just the greatest single food item.
It's the doctor. He's got to know
pizza.
More. Oh, actually, that's a shout.
Yeah, it's quite good because I'll be getting my bread as well.
You've got your bread.
You're looking across at me with all my toppings and my cheese. And
I've just got my bread over here, and you're snacking away on this beautiful. Mm.
I can't put peanut
and
butter on pizza either.
You could.
It wouldn't. It would.
You shouldn't
spoil it. Yeah. One of the few things you shouldn't put peanut butter on. Roscoe.
Oranges.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're up there because you can get them from the tree and stuff.
The tree. The singular tree.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet orange tree. Drop me your fruit.
And apples as well. Chicken. I like chicken.
Chicken.
Or flapjacks.
Oh, man. You are comedy gold. Without even meaning to be. Unbelievable.
Flapjack on the train. That was very nice.
Yeah. Another question about food. Danny Tractor Boy. It's Shrove Tuesday next week. What I wasn't aware of.
Is it?
Apparently.
It is, yeah.
What is your favourite pancake topping? Now then, you two have got young kids. Now, pancake day would be exciting with children, I'd imagine. Because I used to love pancake day. So you're getting your pancakes. First of all, are you going American style or are you going French style?
French.
Thin. Yeah.
French all the way, baby.
Thinnies.
Absolutely. Roscoe, what are you saying?
Both.
You wasn't listening, were you?
What's the difference?
So American's thick pancake, and then the French style is like crepes, thin pancakes.
Thin, yeah, French.
Thin?
Yeah.
You know what I'd actually go? Yeah. I know you've had these.
Yeah.
Dutch style.
Oh,
puffer cheese.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And that's what we're doing next Tuesday.
Are you?
Yeah.
What are you putting on them, though?
The traditional Dutch toppings of butter and icing sugar.
Well, when I had them, they actually put literally a knob of butter underneath them before it even gone in the little tray.
Yeah,
so.
Then dust it with icing sugar. Yeah. It's amazing.
They were incredible.
They are outrageous.
So you're going butter, you're going, what did you say?
Icing sugar.
That's it.
Yeah, if I'm going classic pancakes, I'm actually a lemon and sugar man.
Mm.
Correct.
I'm an orange and sugar man.
What?
Ooh.
Orange juice, yeah. Hey, it's a broad church, my friend.
Sounds quite nice.
It's delicious. Roscoe, what are you saying?
Just syrup.
What, maple syrup?
Yeah, just everywhere.
Maple syrup.
Whack it on. Excellent. Good question.
By the way, I've got an email from OK Diner saying half price pancakes. I don't know when that offer expires.
I imagine it's probably...
It might just be for the Tuesday, but...
Yeah. Should we go?
Let's say, why don't you just try it?
Take the kids.
Take a round trip. Yeah.
We got a midweek game next week?
No.
No.
There we go.
You can take a round trip ahead of Oxford.
Off, actually.
That's true. All right, then. Done. Well, the A1 it is.
There you go. Another food question. Obviously, people know that we're big foodies on this show. Jack wants to know, does everyone have a go-to breakfast? And if so, what is it? Also, who wins Saturday, Fury or Wilder? We'll get on to that in a minute. Go-to breakfast. What's your favourite breakfast?
Go-to breakfast in the house
would
be just a bowl of cornflakes or a bagel.
Okay.
Go-to breakfast out of the house, absolutely Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. Scott, that's very easy to get wrong, though, Eggs Benedict, I always find.
Yeah, but mate, if you pick your establishment,
yeah,
then you're in safe hands.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Stewie?
At home, Weetabix. All day long.
That doesn't surprise me for some reason.
What are you putting on
what
your
Weetabix?
What
does that mean?
Just means it's a very Dr. Watson style breakfast.
Is it?
I'm going to have my Weetabix.
I had Weetabix this morning, actually.
Cereal generally is rubbish. That's not a breakfast. But anyway, carry on.
What do you have on your Weetabix? Obviously milk, but are you putting anything else on there?
Warm milk. Warm milk.
Warm milk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chopping bananas?
No.
No strawberry?
Nothing. No, it's nothing.
Bit of sugar?
Out. I'm going for the Eggs Royale. Get me some smoked salmon involved on that toasted muffin.
Yeah, baby.
You've got to get it's all about the again the hollandaise sauce correct.
Yeah, too many of them will give you some kind of basically must slightly acidic mayonnaise.
Mm.
The worst is when you get it and it's almost start to curdle as they pour it out.
If you get it, if you get hollandaise right,
oh, it's bang on.
Get yourself
friend.
Over to the Barn Cafe, Aldercard Farm, Needham Market.
Yeah,
get yourself. Your Eggs Royale over there.
Yeah.
Thank me later.
Roscoe, I know you're going to come up with something good.
Just eggs, really.
Yeah.
Just like eggs. Omelette. I'm a big fan of omelettes.
Yeah, omelettes are good.
That can be, you know, a brunch meal as well.
Yeah.
Just like eggs, yeah.
Yeah. I think eggs, generally, I think people, the consensus would be eggs. I love, and it's very rare that I have it, it's normally more of a holiday breakfast, but steak and eggs for breakfast. It's fantastic.
Protein rich.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think nutritionists will tell you, actually, the best breakfast you can have is literally a steak and a handful of nuts. Because that hits all the key vitamins, minerals, protein, all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
So, yeah, good stuff.
Are you still an egg-a-day man? You're very big on your breakfast.
I usually have eggs. I'm also, now I'm big, I've just discovered a new peanut butter called Pix Peanut Butter. PIC'S. It's Australian. The best peanut butter I've ever had, bar none, my whole life. It's unbelievable. I'm addicted to it. So I'm having that quite a lot, just on toast for breakfast. A football question. Dave Gort wants to know, Dizelle hasn't been really near the team over the last few weeks. Do you think he'll be here at the start of next season?
No.
Okay, moving on. Thomas Seggins, if T-Segs, he's one of your drivers, isn't he?
Top man.
And also top KOA game day commentator.
The man with the gloves.
Slash glove
Mr.
wearer.
Mr. Game Day, he's put himself as.
Mr. Of course he has.
Mr. Game Day.
Mr. Game Day. Reggie Jackson was Mr. October, wasn't he? Baseball.
Mr. Game Day.
Mr. Game Day. I like that. T-Segs says, if the front three from last week continue to perform like they did, as they did, is it wise to assume that Norwood will have a permanent seat on the bench, and would that be fair?
Don't think he'll start Saturday, but I think he's still got a very big role to play between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think we're at the point where we've got a boxed off 11, are we? There's a lot of twists and turns to go on the pitch, and I think that goes with the team as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of selections, I think he's got a big role to play, but he might have to be a little bit patient. I'd like to think he'd get slightly elongated substitute appearances at some point, because when he comes off the bench, it's generally for 4 or 5 minutes at the end of games. Yeah, give him a bit more.
Nigel G.
Friend of the show.
Number
nine. With the big fish.
Number nine, the striker.
I think it might be a bass.
With Rostradamus in form with his predictions, does he feel this is something he's developed after the lightning strike?
Good point.
Is that because at the time we said you haven't got any special powers. Maybe your ability to see into the future came with that strike. Anyway, he wants to know, Nigel wants to know, how does he predict the following? Three teams promoted from League One. So you've already said Rotherham, Coventry. Who's the other one going up?
Sunderland.
Rotherham, Coventry, Sunderland. Champions League winners.
I don't know who's in the Champions League. Dortmund, because that Haaland guy, he's scoring loads
Dortmund.
Of goals.
He is insane.
Yeah, he's got a lot of goals.
I've not seen him.
He is absolutely insane. He's like, you know, Ivan Drago is basically a lab experiment.
Yeah.
He looks like he's been wired up to things in labs.
Is he a unit then?
He's absolutely massive. You know Alfinger Haaland, he's played for Leeds. It's his son.
Wow.
He's 19 as well.
He's a teenage striker playing for Dortmund.
Yeah.
He's outrageous. I think he ran 70 metres at like world record pace on the pitch on Tuesday night. If you, I'll show you it later.
Yeah.
Between two boxes to get, he didn't score it, but to get on the end of a chance, he was at like world record.
What's his name?
Erling Braut Haaland.
Ah, excellent. I knew you'd be able to pronounce it properly as well. Erling Braut Haaland.
He was named Bundesliga Player of the Month off the back of playing 58 minutes. And that's how good his
six goals
contribution was.
Would I describe him as sick?
Yes, he's outrageous. He's outrageous. Born in Leeds.
Was he?
Yeah.
So he could play for England?
Not now, he can't.
No, shame. Okay, Dortmund. Where will Town be in 5 years?
Championship.
Okay.
Mid-table.
And also he wants to know Wilder or Fury?
Fury.
When's Deontay Wilder coming to do his show in Ipswich, by the way?
Yeah, funny that. never came to fruition, that, did it?
Must be doing that soon.
It's got to be soon, hasn't it? Yeah.
Tonight?
Maybe. Yeah.
Tonight, yeah.
Interesting. We never got to meet him. That was a shame, wasn't it, Roscoe?
Yeah.
Arthur Pickthorne, King Arthur, do our chances of signing Garber hinge on us being promoted, or could we still sign him if we don't go up?
I think it'll be difficult. I think it'll be difficult to sign him if they don't go up.
Yeah, not impossible, but very difficult. That would be my reading of it.
Brad, do you feel it's inevitable that 20 minutes into the game Saturday we'll go 4-4-1-1 with Oxford's main threat coming down the wings and then we win 4-1 again?
I'd be more confident about the first part of that statement than the second, potentially. We've already touched on that, haven't we, about the need to maybe do that. Yeah, I don't think they'll be winning this game 4-1.
Ben Higgins says, I'm raving it up on the tube to the new Archant jingle. Good work, Kings of Anglia. Chris Warren, he means. Absolute banger.
It is a banger.
And we're going to... Don't go anywhere, because that's coming up, baby. And that's now one of the highlights of the show. I listened to that twice in the car on the way home.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah. Bit where it slows down, it's all trancy, and then it goes kind of real slow. Folklore. It's unbelievable.
I did put in a request to Chris via Andy that there was some more use of the lyrics in there, but... because you can't get hold of the original audio, you can't break down the layers and start playing around with the vocals. But are we going to play that? We're going to finish the show in its full entirety this time,
Well, we obviously have to play it in the normal slot, but then we may as well play it as the outro as well, just because it's just tremendous.
Okay.
How do you think the shadowy Archant figures would react to me asking to get the original audio so that I can deconstruct it and rebuild it?
I don't think it will exist anymore.
Yeah,
someone's binned that, haven't they?
Mm.
Yeah, that's done. Get rid of that.
Get the girl that did the audio to sort of get back in the studio.
I thought it was Sophie first, but it isn't Sophie.
It's not Sophie.
No, it's not Sophie.
She was not happy with me when I said that.
Maybe we could revoice it ourselves, could we?
We could get Sophie to do it.
Or anyone.
Sophie's voice would work on that. Sophie from The Office, who works in our digital team.
Yeah, okay. But definitely, and then maybe release it as a single.
Charity single?
Not charity, no.
No,
make, well, the charity of us.
Make money for us. Okay.
And Christopher Warren, obviously, gets the royalties.
He can get 10p from every pound or something.
Yeah, we'll he gets 10%. We're the ones who boosted it. Ben Southgate, playing devil's advocate here, if Marcus Evans was to leave the club, would that be another case of be careful what you wish for? I personally want him to do more, but however, I do get worried what will happen if he wasn't around and a suitable buyer wasn't found. We talked about that quite a lot. Big problem with Marcus, and he said, obviously, he would sell the club if a good offer came in. There's not a lot of people around willing to part with £7 million quid a year for not a lot of return.
Yeah, it's not seven now. I mean, it's being cut right back. Goodness me, this is a bigger question, isn't it? Loads of stuff that Marcus has got wrong. Taking away the financial, strip away the sort of financial input, I think it's probably just some bad decisions, football decisions have been made along the way, and repeatedly bad football decisions in terms of advice he's got, people he's surrounded himself by. So that they would be the sort of the bigger issues for me. In terms of the money that he puts in, it is what it is. Football's financial landscape has moved on dramatically in the 10 plus years that he's been at the club. He can't afford to sort of compete with those around him, but you're right, you know, it's could it be a be careful what you wish for? At least he's trying to. He's been a big advocate of FFP. He's talked about sort of keeping things stable. Stable is not a sexy word, but if somebody came in and what he won't do, and he made this very clear in the interview with me, is he won't just sell to the first person that came along. And there is, you have to be thankful for that, because you could just say, it's not my problem now. I'll just get back whatever I can, cut my losses, and then give it to the first sort of fly-by-night that came along and said, I've got a two-year plan where I'm going to chuck everything at it, and there'd be a lot of excitement in that first year or two, but could then leave you in a real bad hole 2 years down the line. And at least what Marcus is doing isn't doing that.
Yeah, you have to be careful with the expression, be careful what you wish for around Ipswich, don't you? But I would say that takes on an even bigger meaning when it comes to ownership, rather than simply the changing of a manager, which is where we've used that expression comes around a lot more with Ipswich perspective. But in terms of ownership, I think that's a very valid argument to have about being careful what you be careful what you wish for. It's got to be, if the club changes hands, it's got to be right. It can't just be the scenario that Stu's just painted in terms of a flash in a pan. And I think you do have to be grateful to Marcus in that he takes that responsible approach. I think that's brilliant. But you also have to ask questions about, the original question was he wants to see him do more. And I think everybody would agree that they'd want that. But for me, the responsible owner is massive. And to have that is a good thing.
The sticking point, I mean, people say about why isn't he putting the club up for sale? I mean, you don't need to stick a for sale sign outside Portman Road. Anybody who is in any way interested in buying a football club will know that Ipswich is available. You don't need to make a big statement to say, right, that's it, I'm out. You know, he's already kind of done that, really. The sticking point will be not the debt. People then talk about the debt. That would be written off. He's made that clear. The sticking point would be how much there would be some sort of clause that he would want in terms of, if there is success in the next X number of years for this football club, I would want a cut of that. And that would, I think, would be the sticking point in negotiations. Because if you're coming to buy Ipswich Town, I guess your argument would be, you've had your shot at this. It's a big gamble, a gamble that didn't work out for you. I'm now taking on that gamble. So therefore, you know, you either wash your hands of it or not. And Marcus's point of view is, well, I've spent a lot of money on this club. I'd least want to sort of claw some of that back, you know, if you were the ones to bring the success. So I think that would be the point of the negotiations that may or may not kind of...
Well, that's the trade-off for writing off the debt, isn't it? I would imagine.
James Johnson, double J, J money, J squared. Mr. Heath, he says, I too have switched from a petrol to a diesel car, as we discussed on Monday, and I too have noticed a diesel all over the pump handle, which I never had with petrol. And a few other people saying that. I feel vindicated. Also, Alan Judge on his day is one of our best players, but when he's off, he's one of the worst. So what changes?
Alan spoke about this a little bit at the weekend, and he what on earth is that on your screen?
We're getting to that.
Okay. And he described himself as being almost like the ultimate risk versus reward football player. When the risk comes off, you get the reward. When it doesn't, you get your just desserts, almost. Mm-hmm. And I guess that maybe sums up the point of the question there. If you're trying risky things, they come off, they look amazing. If they don't, they don't. And you kind of left having not contributed an awful lot. But he says he's not going to change the way that he plays. And if it works like it did on Saturday, between now and the end of the season, they're onto a good thing there.
I think he was probably trying a bit too hard earlier in the season. Yeah. That's kind of how I felt, that he was a bit too busy in terms of the way he was charging about the pitch. And maybe that's why Ipswich signed him, because in a relegation team, he felt like a breath of fresh air because he just ran about a lot more and you noticed him. But he played better on Saturday. I haven't looked at sort of the distance he covered, but it was less sort of charging about and there was more positional discipline and then just letting his class on the ball show at the key moments. And maybe he's not trying to force the issue and playing off instinct a bit more at the moment.
Instinct's a good thing. If you're playing on instinct, you're doing all right in my book.
Instinct generally in life is a good thing. Always trust your instincts. Harry Butcher.
Also, gloves at service stations is nonsense. I'm standing by that, petrol or diesel.
You're just happy to have it all over your hands.
Well, I drove diesel for many, many years.
It's not that I'm squirting it all over my hands. It's already on the handle.
Why has it got on the handle?
I don't know. But it's fact that now I'm driving a diesel car, diesel pumps more often than not have diesel all over them. Does not happen with petrol. I'm not having diesel on my hands.
Are you using that petrol station on the corner in Woolpit on the exit of the village there?
I do use that every so often. Yeah, but it
doesn't look trustworthy.
That's not the only one that I use. There are others. It's a recurring problem.
I'm going to start sniffing some petrol pumps now. Just
you
to
don't
see.
Need to sniff them. It's moist. It's wet. You put your hand on it, and it's literally diesel all over the pump. I don't know why. Anyway, speaking of things that are rank, Harry Butcher.
Harsh.
I don't know if he deserves his intro to this. I've seen the picture that's attached to it. I'll decide whether
okay.
he gets it.
Well, Harry Butcher is a friend of the show. He says, whenever I do a number two on the toilet, I always take my phone. Do you boys do the same?
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do if you forget your phone?
Yeah. It's quality time.
Exactly. It's the only time I get to myself. He also says, I think Roscoe, Hutch and the Doctor, notably not me, deserve a pay rise. What a blooming tremendous job they all do. Up the lads. So
it's the picture I've got
the
a problem
picture,
with.
Yeah, I mean, he has. When I saw this morning, I did actually think that Harry had shared quite an intimate picture of.
No, that's just from Google.
No, I know, but my initial instinct was
on the floor.
Why has Harry sent us a picture of his shit?
Yeah, it is on the floor. That's the issue.
There's a website called RateMyPoo.com.
Oh,
Why
is there?
There is, yeah.
Why do you even know that?
Someone told me.
Someone told me.
I haven't looked.
Okay, so you all deserve pay rises, but not me, apparently.
Friend Thanks, Hazard. Of the show.
Right, two more questions. Paul M, avatar of Paul McCartney, was disgusted he didn't get an award at the Brit Awards on whenever it was. That was shit, wasn't it? Do the boys have a favourite bridge?
A favourite bridge?
Alter Bridge.
The bridge that connects Copenhagen with Sweden.
The bridge.
Yeah.
They wrote a drama about it and everything. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
That was that bridge. How about yourself?
The Golden Gate.
Of course, you've been there.
Yeah, cycled over that.
Is it a good bridge? Brooklyn Bridge is fine.
Brooklyn Bridge is great, yeah.
What's going on at the Golden Gate Bridge? Is it good?
You can... There's a sort of a path / cycle bit along the side of the road, which gets... So you get a real sort of mix between sort of people who are using it for their daily lives and then sort of... touristy people that are stopping every few metres and taking pictures, and the two don't mix particularly well.
Get out the way, man. Erasmus Bridge in Rotterdam's good too.
Erasmus?
Yep.
Brooklyn, it would be my pick. That's tremendous. Roscoe, what did you say? Alter Bridge?
It's a band. They're a band.
Oh, okay. It was a joke. I'm too old to understand.
Sorry.
What's your favourite bridge? You don't, of course, don't know any bridges because you don't drive.
I do like. I haven't been there before, but Sasha has the Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah.
Also, nice. Breaking news on Roscoe front: he's got a date for his test. April. What is it?
8th, I think.
April the 8th.
Come on,
mark that down in your diary, KOA Army.
Stay off the roads.
Yeah, stay off the roads.
Stay off the roads.
Final question from our Viking friend Sindre Eliasson. He says, what are the boys' favourite authors? I'm a big George Orwell fan. I also like Aldous Huxley. Who would you say is yours?
Shamefully, I'm not a massive reader.
What?
Yeah, I don't really read an awful lot of books.
Okay.
I feel pretty shameful about that.
But you feel shameful about that, but not the Wu-Tang Clan? I suppose if you're going to be shameful about one of those two things, probably not reading.
I have not a drip of shame in my body about the Wu-Tang Clan. Okay. I really don't. But
you do about reading.
Yeah, I should read more.
You should.
I don't have a favourite author, and I should have.
Okay, Stewie.
I'm not going to sit here and bang the drum for anyone, to be honest. I'm a bit the same as Andy, really. When you spend your whole life writing, it's a cultural black hole. I'm reading a lot of the Michael Calvin books at the moment.
Who's that?
Various. Oh, don't you know?
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Who is it?
Don't you know?
No idea. Who's Michael Calvin?
He does a lot of sports books, a lot of football books.
Football, okay. Roscoe, is it even worth asking you?
Roald Dahl.
Oh, yeah. Standard. That's a good shout.
Yeah, he is a good shout. He is a legend.
All the big ones. Shakespeare, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
The woman who did 50 Shades of Grey, you know all that? I'll joke.
You don't even know her name.
I don't know.
Shakespeare, what's your favourite Shakespeare?
Hamlet.
Really?
Macbeth.
Macbeth is the bomb. Macbeth is the best Shakespeare for me by a country mile. Authors wise, I don't read any fiction at all, generally. If I'm reading something, I want it to be something that's actually happened. Norman Mailer, The Fight, is probably my favourite book, The Rumble in the Jungle. It's one of the best pieces of sports journalism there's ever been. I'd read that. Fiction-wise, probably Hemingway. I read him quite a lot in Cuba, because, of course, he spent a lot of time in Cuba. So For Whom the Bell Tolls is one of my favourites, although The Old Man and the Sea is also a brilliant book.
How you read Hemingway in Cuba.
Well, I did. Well, obviously you know that Cuba, he spent a lot of time in Cuba.
I know, that's where he created
the mojito in Cuba, Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway created the mojito?
Yes, he did.
Did not know that. Did you know that, Stu?
No, I do now.
That's brilliant.
And that's fact. I went into the hotel where he did it. As I say, I think there was a certain romance of reading Hemingway in Cuba.
Castro.
Huh?
Yes, Castro as well.
Yeah. He's also a famous Cuban. Yeah.
Cigars. Let's just say things.
Rum.
But I would say probably overall favourite writer from a sporting sense, the one that I've read most, is probably Norman Mailer. So, yeah, there we go. Boys, let's get the Any Other Business and everything else out of the way, because I want to end the show with the rave up. So let me get the usual hit subscribe on your various podcast providers, Podbean, Buzzsprout, Jockstrap, whatever it's called.
All of those,
yeah. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Whiz fart, yeah.
That's an airline.
We've not had...
Duff Bomb.
We've not had a lot of reviews recently, so we need them for visibility in our charts. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Guff hole.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter. Don't, because you'll set Ross off, and then he won't be able to press the button. Follow us on all our social medias, Kings of Anglia across Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, and especially on Twitter.
Horse flap.
Google Podcasts.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Any other business, boys?
No other business.
Nine.
No other business. Roscoe?
Jizzer.
Right, get the glow sticks out, get yourself a little drink, maybe a vodka and coke.
Or a mojito.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football, more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Ipswich Town are going to draw 1-1 at the weekend. You've heard it here first. I didn't want you to fade it down, Roscoe. I was just going to do the outro over it. But anyway, now have yourself a rave up and a party. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you on Monday.
Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.